Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. And joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I am doing great. We have such neat guests today, and I'm really looking forward to talking with them. So why don't you share with our audience who we have joining us today?
Well, today we have Bob Bishop, an 82-year-old trail rider. Then we travel to Whitefish, Montana, and talk with Kate Gullickson and Dave Satine, manager of Bar W Guest Ranch.
All right. And you did a good job with those last names, I think. We'll ask Dave
there?
And Kate if you did. Yeah. But anyway, so we've got a fun show. We'll be looking forward to talking with these folks in just a moment. But we remind our listeners that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and take a deep seat. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Bob Bishop in New Mexico. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Wildcat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, "I'm sending you to jail," Wildcat raised his head and cried, "Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. I wanna be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in." Straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
Well, we're starting the show out with a little Riders in the Sky from their new CD, A Salute to Roy Rogers, and that is one called Don't Fence Me In. And I have a feeling that our first guest is one of those guys that you just don't fence in. And Bob Bishop, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, how are
things? Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. How are things out in the land of enchantment, New Mexico, today?
We've got a nice sunshine and about 75 degrees, and everything's looking good.
All right. All right. Great weather to get out and trail ride in some beautiful country out there. And we're going to talk about a really neat ride that you did in the Gila National Forest a little bit later. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been involved with horses and mules and your riding background.
Well, I'm an Ohio native, grew up on a farm in northwestern Ohio, lot of years ago. I had got my first horse at the age of 12, and that's 70 years ago, and I've had horses continually since then, all but the time I was in the Army. So even when I was in college, I worked at a horse barn, took care of horses, and that's one reason I got through school. So they've been a big part of my life, never professionally, but always been involved, and I've had draft horses, mules, all kinds of saddle horses, judged horses for 40 years, and judged mules for a few times at stock shows, and so a lot of work with the 4-H in a number of states, and judging and so forth, so.
Well, I think you mentioned yesterday that you kind of put yourself through school judging horse shows, didn't you?
I did. I graduated from Ohio State and worked for the research center, managing a research farm, and then after 10 years, I took sabbatical one quarter a year until I finished my master's, and during the summer of those years, I judged every year, but I paid my way through graduate school by judging horse shows. So,
Wow. If I could get my grandkids to do something like that, that would be pretty neat. Their parents would appreciate that. Oh, gosh. Well, how long have you been trail riding?
All my life.
All your life?
I had an older sister, and there were neighbor kids within 10 miles of us, that brother and sister, two different families. So we'd ride every Sunday somewhere and end up someplace for somebody's house for supper or something like that. And that was up in northwestern Ohio. That was a long time ago, where there wasn't near the traffic, and still had some good country roads we rode on and a lot of woods to ride in and that type of thing. So. A lot of fun.
Well,
Do you remember your first horse?
Pardon?
I said, do you remember your first horse, and do you have some crazy stories about it?
Right, that was right after, at the end of the Second World War, people had money and nothing to spend it on, and they were shipping a lot of horses into Ohio and that country, but on the railroad and the horse I got came out of Arizona. He was branded three times. He was a little bay that was about 14 hands. Of course, I was only 12 years old, and he loved to buck. In the wintertime, you just had to figure on getting bucked off at least once before you could stay on him.
Those kind of teach you grit.
Oh, yeah.
And how to hang on.
No, I don't like to get bucked off anymore.
I don't either.
Hey, Bob, is there and of course, we don't want to talk about the Gila Wilderness right now because that's a ride that you did not too long ago, but do you have a favorite? I mean, is there a particular trail ride or some location that you rode where it kind of was your favorite, one maybe that sticks out in your memory a little better than others?
What I think probably sticks out more than anything because of the being that so unusual is White Sands Missile Range out of Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's a big national park, and most people don't realize you can ride in there, but they've got one place that you can go and unload and ride, and that is amazing to ride in because it's not sand, it's gypsum. And it's firm, so you got good footing. The only place you have to watch is if the wind's blowing or has blown off the edges of some of the dunes there. You don't want to ride into that because you'll drop a horse on his knees pretty fast. But lots of acres and lots of miles. Really beautiful place to ride.
Well, they have some wild horse herds out there, too, at White Sands, don't they?
They might have. I'm not familiar with them in that area. There are, you know, numbers of them around.
Right. Well, and I believe we were talking yesterday, and not too far from White Sands is Cloudcroft. Did you ever do any riding up there?
Yeah, we rode up there quite a bit. Used to go up there and camp, and then there was family knew that had run cattle up there in the summertime. We went up and helped gather for two or three summers, and then they wintered down in the valley there. So we went up and gathered cows up there. It was really nice riding.
Well, one of the most amazing things to me when I was going up to Cloudcroft was to turn around and look back, and you can just see miles and miles and miles and miles of that white sands in the background, and suddenly you go from the desert back up into what I felt like was home in Tennessee, where you've got forests and waterfalls and such a big change in the topography in just a short period of time.
Yeah, there's a rim trail that you can ride out there along the edge and just look out, and just I've got some beautiful pictures from up there. It's really amazing.
Well, you were talking yesterday about the fact that you worked with a lot of 4-H kids in the extension program. And how did you get involved in that?
Well, my mother was a 4-H leader many, many years ago, and so I kind of grew up in 4-H. And then I had the first horse project in Wood County that for the saddle horse. That's Wood County, Ohio. And they still had draft horse books. That was probably back in, I don't know, 1940, something like that. And then when I went to Ohio State, I worked at the horse barn and of course, got involved with the 4-H there because that was, part of the university's program. And started the 4-H club after I got out and wrote a judging book and coached the first judging team to go out of Ohio. And we won regionals contest in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then involved in clinics and judging ever since, up until, 20 years ago, I guess. So, but I worked with the 4-H in Washington and some in Iowa. I managed a research farm in Iowa for a few years, worked with it there, and state of Washington, then state of Colorado, and judge state fairs and all those, and county fairs and clinics. So,
well, the 4-H horse and pony program has changed quite a bit since you got started back in Ohio with the first one that you were involved in.
Oh, absolutely. It's really a good outlet for kids that get kids interested in the horse, and they kind of forget about other stuff most generally, so that's a good way to point them.
Well, now, how is your wife your horse buddy?
Yeah, she's the one that keeps me riding. I'm very, very fortunate. I've got a younger wife, but she's got has had automobile accident and bad neck problems, and we just kind of keep each other going. I said, honey, you want to ride today? Oh, I guess I can. And once you get on, you feel pretty good and go. So,
right.
And then she'll stay away with me, and we just say a prayer to the Lord every time we get off for one more ride.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a little bit unusual, and it's really great that, and by the way, you may shoot Tina May for telling folks that you were 82 before the program started, but what the...
I think that's wonderful.
I think it's something to be proud of, but what do you attribute your longevity in the saddle to, outside of a younger wife that keeps you going?
I guess I'm just bullheaded enough I don't want to quit.
There you go.
Oh, goodness. Well, you had a neat ride in the Gila Wilderness area, and we want to come back and talk a little bit about that, but we have to pay some bills right now. Tina May kind of keeps me on track with those kind of things. And so we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply stands behind every product that they sell and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And Tina May, you want to tell folks a little bit about our Legacy Club?
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free. It has all kind of benefits like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, food ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawing, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Store. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right.
And when we come back...
Yeah, tell us.
When we come back, we will announce the winner for this month's prize.
All right, so we're going to do that when we come back from this. And this is a song that I picked out just for Bob today. And it's one by Michael Martin Murphy called The Land of Enchantment. And this is the state song for New Mexico. So we'll come back and talk more with Bob right after we announce our winner. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I met a lady in my drifting days. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, we watched the sunset by the Rio Grande. The mission bell rang farewell, she took my hand. She said, come back, no matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico. From her arms I wandered far across the sea. I often heard her gentle words haunting me. Come back, amigo, I miss you so. New Mexico, come back, amigo, no matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico.
Michael Martin Murphy's Land of Enchantment, and in just about a week, Michael Martin Murphy will be with us at Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation at the Circle E Guest Ranch, halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. But right now, it's that time of the month, and we have an announcement to make.
Oh, I love it. This month, I love it. This month's Legacy Club member winner of a $100 gift certificate from Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Store is Michelle Grosser from Texas.
All right. Well, we'll be getting in touch with Michelle a little bit later and be sending her a gift certificate. And thank to Michelle for being a Legacy Club member. And again, Legacy Club membership is free, so you can enroll at equestrianlegacy.net. And, you know, we want to talk. Hey, Bob, by the way, that song was special for you, The Land of Enchantment.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
He's one of my favorite artists.
Well, I tell you what, put it on your bucket list to be with us next year for the first week in June back here in Tennessee, and we'll introduce you to him. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I've seen him in person several times, and I really enjoy him.
All right. But anyway, Tina May, you had on your bucket list a ride that was taking place in the Gila National Forest. And you didn't quite make that one, but tell us a little bit about that and how you got connected with Bob.
Actually, it was Joe Bice. I was invited to this ride, and he was the guy that was putting it on. And I, unfortunately, didn't get to make it there. I just didn't have enough time. I was going to too much driving time and not enough riding time. So next year. And Joe Bice had made a comment about, you know, he was inspired by Bob Bishop to continue with this ride, to put this on, because he wanted to do this ride. And so let's talk about the ride, Bob, that I didn't get to go on. So let's talk about the Gila National Wilderness and tell us how that ride went.
Yeah, that was a really nice ride. I've ridden wilderness areas before in Oregon, but this is a pretty rough trail. They put you through some pretty hard riding, and I'm glad we got to go. It's a lot of fun and a lot of good people.
Right, and it was actually considered a mule ride, but there were a handful of horses, which I would have had a short ear myself. But this was normally, you know, what they call their mule ride. Tell us about the trails in the Gila.
Well, the ones we were on were pretty steep and narrow, up out of a canyon. We stayed in Joe had a parking lot reserved there along the highway for people to camp in. We didn't have a camper. We sold our motorhome when we moved over here. And so we just stayed in the Gila Hot Springs campground. They had some cabins and corrals, so we stayed there. It was 3 miles from where the ride was, but they rode up out of the canyon they were in and up over a mountain and back down into a canyon that had was that the Gila River in it? I think we went down into the river over a mountain and back out. It's about 8 miles up over the mountain and in and back out, so that's single file around the side of a mountain and over rocks and up and down over rocks. It was pretty rough. Glad I had a good mule. So my wife was riding her mule, and nobody had any problems getting in and out. Of course, anybody that goes into those kind of areas has got enough miles behind them, that's not where you want to start, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm sure your animals need to be in condition, and so does the rider. When you're doing that kind of riding, and and all day riding, you both need to be fit.
I found out I wasn't quite as fit as what I wanted to be. I was pretty tired when I got out.
And that happens sometimes. Oh, my goodness. So, do you know how many miles did you cover in the Gila Wilderness? Do you know how many miles you guys covered?
I think the trail in that we did on Saturday was 8 miles in and 8 miles back out, but it was up over a mountain and back down in and then back out. We came out at noon. There was another group that stayed, and they didn't get out till 6 o'clock at night. We got out about 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that. I'm glad we did, because that was about all I wanted to ride one day. We ride a lot up here. We're out on 53,000 acres. You just open the gate and ride out. But we're 5,700 feet, but not a lot of, we've got mountains around us, but we just usually ride this high desert country, and that's quite a bit different than crawling over a mountain up and down. So
there's a big difference in that.
Yeah, you find some muscles bracing and so forth going up and down a mountain that you didn't use otherwise. So.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that you love most about riding? What keeps you going?
I've always used it as a kind of therapy. You get out there, you can think about things you don't think about other places, and it just relaxes you. I used to, when I was in high school, I ran a baler for a guy all summer long, a couple of summers, and I'd come home and do chores and get my horse out about 8 o'clock and ride it every night just to relax so I could go to bed and get some sleep. I was so tired. And it's always been a way I could relax and just feel good after I got done.
Kind of a wind down and stress reliever, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I got involved in all kinds of other activities and extension and research and so forth, I used to use it as a way to just run down and get away from things and just really enjoy riding. You always feel better when you get off than you do when you get on.
That is so very true. Hey, did you see any of those free-ranging cattle while you guys were out in the Gila?
Oh, we got them all around us. So my cows run out free range, and the guy that manages the place here has got a herd, and my cows run with that and come in the water every 2 or 3 days. And so I'm still got some cow, longhorn cows and so forth. And we're in that kind of country.
Well, you're used to that, but being from back here in the southeast, the first time I drove through the Gila, I was kind of surprised to see a longhorn standing right in the middle of the road. I wasn't expecting that. So we don't. If they're free ranging here, it's by accident, not on purpose. But that's kind of the difference in the lifestyle out there.
Right.
Was there anything in particular about the Gila National Wilderness that you maybe experienced that you had not somewhere before?
Or ended up in the hot tub afterwards. That really helped.
Oh, gosh. Well, that should be a prerequisite for every campground, I think, and guest ranch.
They got hot springs there. They really feel good afterwards, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, how many years have they been doing this ride? Do you know?
This was the first year. Joe started this Facebook page for Mules of New Mexico, and guys, he's got people, I don't know how many thousand people he's got on there, but on this ride, there were 53 people, and only 11 of them were from New Mexico, and the rest were all over the country. So they were serious riders that came in here and rode. So it was, you know, it was a good bunch of people. You didn't have to worry about people staying on because they, if they didn't know how to ride, they didn't come.
I understand. Well, did you have any, does he plan to do another ride like this? Was this a ride that
would
be a second?
Yeah, he's planning on annual rides, and then they're putting, he and a couple other guys are putting together a mule starting activity this fall. It's going to be like Road to the Horse, only it's going to be working young mules and starting them, and it's going to be down here at TRC. He's getting sponsors and so forth and putting that together. I don't know, is it September, October?
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in
September, yeah. It's kind of like a Mustang Makeover, but it's for mules. So it's going to be like a mule madness. I don't know what he's going to call it, but he's kind of getting that in the works, which is going to be quite interesting.
There's a lot of really interesting people on that. People I've met before, mule people, and some I haven't and got acquainted with, you know, through that. And it's really interesting. You know, everybody, you have to be different to be a mule person. I mean, it's just, a lot of horse people think they can be mule people, but you really, mm-hmm. there's quite a difference. It's just, you've got to be able to appreciate your animal and spend more time with them and get to know them. And you just don't force a mule into anything, but he gets acquainted with you. He'll do anything you want you to do or you want him to do within reason. So I got my first mule about 40 years ago. I raised one while I was up in Walla Walla, Washington, and rode all over the Lanaha Wilderness area with him up in that country. And that was amazing. A mule just handled himself so much different than a horse when he's out on rough ground.
What's the difference, Bob, in the personality of a mule versus a horse? I mean, I've only ridden a mule one time, and that was for a friend that was trying to sell one. And after I rode it, I said that I did it once. That was my last time. But what really is the difference between a horse and a mule as far as their personality and maybe the training process and that type of thing?
Well, they've got to know you before they'll really work for you. You know, you can just go get on a horse and ride a horse, but a mule is real skeptical of whoever gets on him until they bond with him and they figure out that you're not going to hurt them. And there's good mules and bad mules. You just can't go out and get a mule. You've got to sift through a bunch of them to find a good one. But once you get a good one, you want to keep him. I made that mistake.
Gosh. Well, I tell you what, it has been so much fun visiting with you, and I expect that we may get to see you down here in Tennessee next year. You'll have to come down and join us, and it's always great to have something on your bucket list to do to keep you going.
Absolutely. We'll try.
All right.
You don't have to wait till next year. It's going to be coming up here in a couple weeks, too.
We've got the next couple of weeks pretty well tied up. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just watch for you, and we'll make sure you know that the first week of June you need to be back down here in Tennessee to join us for this benefit ride that we're doing. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Tina May, who is such a traveler, doesn't see you on the trail before I do. So we look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. Bob Bishop in New Mexico and still riding the trails at 82, and that is in his future to continue doing. So anyway, thanks so much to Bob for being with us. And we want to remind folks again that Equestrian Legacy Radio is sponsored by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org and by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop online with Trailhead Supply at trailheadsupply.com. And we're going to play a song now before we visit with our next guest. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Bob and Kate at the Bar W Guest Ranch out in Montana. But this is a song for our friends out in Texas that are going through so much with the floods. You're in our thoughts and prayers, and this is one by Riders in the Sky called The Yellow Rose of Texas. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at EquestrianLegacy.net.
There's a yellow rose in Texas I'm going now to see. No other cowboy loves her, nobody, only me. She cried so when I left her, it nearly broke my heart. And if we ever meet again, we never more shall part. She's the sweetest rose of color this cowboy ever knew. Her eyes are like the diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your fairest maid or sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee. Where the Rio Grande is flowing and stars are shining bright, we walked along that river one cold and quiet night. She said, do you remember we parted long ago? You promised to come back again and never leave me so. She's the sweetest rose of color this cowboy ever knew. Her eyes are like the diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your fairest maid or sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee. Full of woe, we'll sing the songs together we sang so long ago. I'll pick the banjo gaily and play the songs of yore, and the yellow rose of Texas will be mine forevermore. She's the sweetest rose of color this cowboy ever knew. Her eyes are like the diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your fairest maid or sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee.
If you have ever wanted to be a cowboy, we have the perfect place for you to learn how to do that, and that is at the Bar W Guest Ranch in Whitefish, Montana. And we want to welcome to the show now Bob and Kate. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Dave and Kate. Hi, Dave. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
I answered to Bob, too, so.
Yeah, he's stuck
in
the
sorry.
Line. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I knew we were talking with Dave, but I was still thinking about that gentleman that's still riding at 82. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. We had that the privilege of listening to some of that, and it is pretty impressive. I think we hold the record, though. We have a gentleman that comes here usually once a year, every other year, whatever, and he's in his 90s now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. My goodness.
I have to say he doesn't do as much riding, but he does come here, so.
Well, that's good to know, because there's hope for this old cowboy, so I'm glad to hear that.
Tell him he's got a lot of nice riding years ahead of him, and keep going.
Well, I was talking about this old cowboy that you're talking to right now, so that's good news for me.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about Bar W. And exactly where you're located, and how was the ranch started?
We're located in northwest Montana, near the town of Whitefish. We're about 50 miles from the Canadian border. And the ranch here was started by our owner, current owner, Dave Leishman. He and his daughters used to come to other dude ranches in Montana, and had decided that it was a great place for him and his girls to learn horsemanship and other things. And they rode and rode in Montana, and he just decided that it was something good he could do. A former professional world-class skier, he's an outdoorsman, so he wanted his children to experience some of that too. And that's how the Bar W got started. And this is our 11th season now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wow.
Well, you've got some great facilities there, and either of you can talk about this, but tell us a little bit about what the Bar W has to offer for folks that want to come out and visit.
Mm-hmm. The Bar W is a year-round ranch. During the summer, we offer guest ranch vacation packages. We do a three-night or a six-night. We usually recommend a six-night package to really fully experience everything the ranch has to offer. What you would expect in one of our vacation packages is outdoor activities. Our main focus is horseback riding. So you will get trail rides. We do horsemanship lessons. We do rodeo activities like barrel racing, pole bending. We'll teach you the basics of roping. You get to do team penning. And pretty much you can ride till your heart desires on the trails. There's 3,000 acres that we're backed up to of Spencer Mountain. It's state land, so we get access to all of that. We do also take a ride up near Eureka, Montana, which is our all-day ride up to the Canadian border. On top of horseback riding, if that's not your thing, we have plenty of other activities. Nestled at the base of the mountain, we're right next to Spencer Lake, which we have canoeing, we have a rowboat, swimming, there's fishing, we can do gear fishing, we can do fly fishing. We also have a private trout pond on our property. There's hiking, there's mountain biking, skeet shooting, archery, basically anything outdoors, you can give it a try here.
It's all right. And it sounds like you have either an airplane or a lawnmower going on, too, so you keep the place nice and neat, it sounds like.
Yeah. But
my local helicopter here.
Your local helicopter. Okay. I wasn't sure what that was. But talk to us a little bit about your facilities itself.
Well, our facilities are nestled in a nice sheltered valley. We're about a half mile off the road. The main road there is a well-traveled road. We have a great description of our and pictures of our facilities at our website. And if I might mention it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely.
It's www.thebarw.com. And like I said, we have a good set of pictures there for it. But in a nutshell, we have a lodge where everyone eats that has six rooms. We have a cabin that has two separate guest rooms, one up and one down. And then we have a kind of a unique thing. It's called glamping. We have two glamping tents.
Love it.
Now, that sounds interesting to me. Tell us about the glamping. What is that?
Well, glamping is kind of a contraction of the words glamorous camping. In this particular case, we're taking a regular canvas-sided outdoor outfitter's tent, and we put it on a nice base. So it's on a nice raised wooden base. It has electricity, heat, a refrigerator inside, bathrooms, regular bathrooms, not an outhouse. And it's sort of a way to experience the outdoors without roughing it. So hence the name, Glamorous Camping.
Well, it sounds a lot better. Sounds a lot better than my old Coleman tent that I used to put up when I was a kid. So that's a big step up right there.
It is a step from your pup tent.
Huge step up. A huge step up.
So, well, your website is beautiful and shows great pictures of everything that you really have to offer there. There's so much there. You've got something for everyone.
So all ages, from kids.
All ages.
Programs up to, you know, grandmas and grandpas, any age can come out here.
And what is your season?
Our summer season, where we do the guest ranch vacation packages, runs late April through October. And as I mentioned, we're open year-round. So during the winter, we do bed and breakfast days, which runs November through April. Those are a great option for people who want to ski. We're about 20 minutes from Whitefish Mountain Resort, which is a downhill ski area. So we're kind of the perfect little oasis for ski vacations for families.
Mm-hmm. And on your all-inclusive rides that you have, what is a day like at your Dude Ranch?
Well, we like to
kind
start,
of go through the day.
We like to start our guests off by telling them that they're part of our ranch, and we invite them, if they choose, they can come down and help us right away in the morning with our morning chores, which usually means gathering the horses, getting them brushed up and saddled. And, of course, then we serve three meals a day, and they're all hearty meals. One of my favorite is always sausage, gravy, and biscuits, and something you don't necessarily cook for yourself, but it's nice to have it every once in a while. And it's a good stick-to-your-ribs kind of thing. We try to get
all that hard work.
It is for the hard work. Try to get our guests selected for a proper mount. We ask in advance their weight and size and abilities, and our head wrangler does an excellent job of matching them. We have horses for all levels. We have children's horses for children, etc. Everybody gets to get a chance to keep their horse if they like their horse for the whole week. We've had some people that wanted to take their horse home with them, but they don't have room in their luggage.
Gosh. Yeah, that carry-on's kind of difficult sometimes on these flights right now. So,
I think it would give the SA something to laugh about.
It would. Well, you've got some real cowboy activities that you do a little bit later in the week, and we're going to talk about those in just a moment, but we do need to acknowledge another one of our sponsors, so let's just take a moment and do that, and we're going to talk to you just a minute about Trail Guard, which is 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that serves your make vehicle. A second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination. 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle, one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip and much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And I want to mention, too, we had mentioned the flooding that's going on in Texas. Trail Guard is really stepping up to help with that situation. A lot of horses that have been caught in the floods there and vehicles that have been caught. And so they are doing what they can to pitch in and help. So visit their Facebook page, and that's Trail Guard on Facebook. You can find out more about what they're doing there or our Facebook page as well. And that's Equestrian Legacy Radio. So we're going
not
to...
not only stepping up to help get, you know, with the current situation, but they're also, for the month of May, part of their proceeds is going to disaster relief for all these storms and these disasters that's happening around the area.
Well, that's true. And they have currently they have a 20% discount for folks that, well, that ended yesterday, but for our Legacy Club members, you get a 20% discount for the month of May. And again, a portion of the proceeds go to help with the disaster relief on that. So you can visit them again at trailguard.org. When we come back, we're going to talk with Bob and Kate some more about the Bar W and some of the real cowboy activities that you can get involved in. And I think they serve some pretty healthy steaks, too, after you've worked up an appetite. But let's listen to Joni Harm's Cowboy Up. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
He was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes. But the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going. By the end of last season, he said he was among the best. So he proudly called a girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again. You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going when the going gets tough. Around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up. It's not an easy lesson to learn in life and love, but it's the only way to go whenever you bite the dust. You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going when the going gets tough. Around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy.
And that's Cowboy Up. And, you know, one of the neat things about coming out to the Bar W is that you really get to be a cowboy if you want to. Talk to us a little bit about, you've got a special event that's coming up in about a week, don't you?
Yep, in about 2 weeks. We offer a cattle drive, and this gives guests the opportunity. We go just over east, and they get a cowboy the Great Divide. There's thousands and thousands of open acres of plains, and our guests get a ride out, they get to gather the cattle herd, and they get to work the herd, and you camp, and it's more rough style compared to what we do at the ranch. We have one coming up in 2 weeks. We still have space available for that, but it's a great opportunity to really feel like and understand what that experience of being a cowboy really means. That cowboy way of life, the cooking out, the, you know, long days in the saddle, the hard work, and sleeping out under the stars if you want. We do bring tents for people that want tents, but you can also sleep out under the stars if you wanted.
All right, so do we do a little vaccinated and branding while we're out there on that one?
You get to vaccinate, you get a brand, you got to tag them, you got to sort the herd, you even get to castrate a few if you want to try.
All right. And we were talking yesterday just a little bit about a couple of special weeks that you do out there. I think one is a cowgirl up week, and another one is a photography week that you have, and I may be missing one, but talk to us a little bit about those special weeks that you do.
Yeah, we do a ladies only week, which is kind of a fun week, which is going on right now at the ranch. It's the ladies there to take over the ranch, and we call it our cowgirl up week. We offer one in the spring and two in the fall, and it's a great opportunity for girls to get together. We see singles come, we see mother-daughters, best friends, people who were, you know, friends in high school come to meet up. It's a great week. They do get a day-long cattle drive, no overnight. They also get a afternoon at the spa, one of our local spas, which is really nice. They get the full cowboy experience with the ladies only. So it's a full cowboy experience.
Now, most of your guests, they come there on an all-inclusive ride, and they ride your horses. But you do allow, like someone like me, that would bring their own horse. So you do allow others to bring their horses as well, correct?
Absolutely. If you want to bring your own horse and it's a safe trail horse, we're more than happy to have you out on your own horse.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the trails. We haven't really talked too much about the trails. Tell us what you have to offer there as far as the trails, the terrain, and how many miles of trails you have.
We have a very different trails depending on what location we're at. Right here by the ranch, many of the trails are mountainous. And that's not to say that we're at the top of a mountain the whole time, but to indicate that the trails are narrower. There are some elevation changes. And because of the number of trails right next to us, we have over 30 miles of trails that we're adjacent to. And there's something for everybody. There's the steep hills, and then there's the gentle climbs, and there's the pretty lookouts. As we go to other places, we have, of course, the open vistas that people like to see, too.
Awesome.
Well, we actually stole one of your photographs from your Facebook page to use it for our show photograph this time. And it looked like some really happy people that were on their horses sitting out in some of those wide open spaces with those vistas as well. So it's great when you've got such a variety of terrain for people to be able to get out and ride in.
Mm-hmm. For all ages and all levels.
Right. And, you know, we like to tell people that there's different ways to enjoy the horse, and when you can see how athletic the horses are on some of the more challenging trails, and you can see that the animals have a lot of strength, it gives you more respect for the animal, it makes you understand completely how they move, and it's just a nice experience, even for the people that aren't experienced riders.
One of the neat things that you have there is a kids program. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, at our ranch, we do require kids to be at least 7 years old to ride out on the trails, but that doesn't limit the kids under seven. We do what we call our cowpoke program, and it offers them, they get to do arena rides. They are allowed to trail ride around the ranch with the wrangler. They get to do picnic rides. They also get to do arts and crafts. We even let them paint the horses. And it's a great opportunity for parents to enjoy the trails, even if they have younger kids. We also, part of our cowpoke program, is we let them participate in the arena activities with the adults. So you're not completely separated from your kids the whole time. You do get a ride with them.
Well, that is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Parents need a little time to get away, and it's great when you have a program for kids where you know that they're safe and entertained and enjoying themselves as well. And, you know, you were talking a little bit, Dave, about whitefish and a rodeo experience that people can enjoy while they're there.
Yes, when there's a local rodeo that we always take our guests to see. They'll have bucking horses and bulls and roping and barrel racing. And the very next day, our guests get to show how much they've learned. They don't have to ride any bulls or anything like that, but we do some games on horseback. We really enjoy Whitefish, Montana. There's so many other things to do around the area, and we try to get our guests to experience all of them. We're just 30 miles from Glacier Park. There's numerous golf courses around, other lakes and other things to see. Of course, we think ours is the best attraction, and we should.
I think you have a ranch / resort. I'm going over your webpage and all the activities, the extra activities, and the area attractions. I mean, you have something literally for everyone.
Well, we try to give people the experience that they desire. And, you know, if somebody mentions something, we try our best to make sure that that comes true. I mean, obviously, there's safety involved and things like that. But we teach our guests how to rope real cattle. And if they practice well enough, they'll be able to rope cattle.
Awesome.
Well, now, we were talking about the fact that Tina May was drooling over the sausage and gravy and biscuits earlier. you guys put out a pretty good spread. Don't you do a little steak grilling and some other things to feed your guests well?
Absolutely. You won't go hungry during your week at the ranch, that's for sure. But we do cookout dinners, where you get your steak and your potatoes. It's very, all of our meals are very home-style Montana. So we do a couple cookouts during the week. You get, you know, hearty breakfast, lunches. And, you know, so you're going to get, usually you get a nice meat entree, potatoes, salad, dessert at twice a day. It's good for your pants.
Gosh, well, there you go, Tina May. You got another bucket list place right there talking about all that food.
I'm telling you. I just
Friday
thought the way she said that.
Night.
Friday night is steak night? Is that what you said?
Yep, Friday night steak night. We do a cookout dinner. We get a campfire. We get s'mores. Cowboy singing around the fire. Good old cowboy stories.
Oh, that sounds great.
Well, there's a question that I always enjoy asking our guests that have guest ranches. And first of all, I would assume that after you've been there for 11 years, you probably have some repeat customers that come back.
Yep.
What type of changes have you seen in your guests from the time they first get there to the end of the week?
You see people relax and reconnect kind of, but it's like a reconnect by disconnecting almost. Once they get here, when they're first here, they're on their phones and they're worried about where their kids are. And by the end of the week, the parents are sitting on the deck, you know, enjoying the evening while the kids are running around on the lawn. And by disconnecting from everything, they've reconnected as family and friends, and just reconnect with yourself and nature and what the West is all about. So, you know, from the start of the week when they're still busy in city mode to the end of the week, their lifestyle changes.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I'm sorry, Gary. We have so much fun here that it's not unusual for some of our former guests to apply to work here at a later time. So,
well, how cool.
Take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that you probably have people that come and spend time with you that make lifelong friendships after they've been there. And, Dave, I think you said that there were a few tears when people got ready to leave.
Yeah, Saturday morning people are usually leaving. Tears are shed. They want to take their horse with them. They want to come back. It's kind of bittersweet, and we expect to see them and offer to help them out and want them to come next year and things like that. We missed one little thing there. We didn't talk very much about our photography week, where we have basically some photographers coming under the tutelage of one of our instructors, and they spend the week partially on horseback and partially finding interesting things to photograph, including some of our cowboys and some of the local Native Americans.
Wow. Well, I saw some great pictures of the photography that I'm assuming takes place during that week, and there were pictures of people taking pictures. So that was pretty cool to watch that. We didn't ask this yesterday, but how long have you been there, Dave?
I've been here since they opened. I've been a manager for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and Kate, what about you?
I'm in my third season now.
Okay. Well, this is a question for both of you. What has been the most rewarding experience for you while you've been at the Bar W?
It's my favorite horse story, and I'll keep it short. Young lady with autism wanted to take her mom wanted to take horseback riding lessons, and of course she wasn't quite ready when she got all excited. And one of our horses came right over to the young lady and didn't sniff her, but bumped her. And at that point, she put her hands down, quieted down, and she later stayed for lessons all once or twice a week all summer long. So it was one of my favorite experiences with a horse, having heard of it, but...
Wow, they're healers. Horses can do amazing things, and I believe they have that sixth sense.
My favorite thing about the job is working with the people. It's so fun to be such an incredible part of someone's experiences. When they come here, they're friends, they're family. Many of the guests, you know, you stay friends with and you keep in touch with. I don't know how many invitations I've had to go stay back east or stay in California somewhere if I'm around. And it's rewarding to make friends with so many people and be in such a positive environment for your job. Plus, I get to look out my office window and see a herd of horses. Can't beat that.
No, that's pretty cool. Your views from there are absolutely awesome. And so we would encourage folks to visit the website and give that again to us one more time.
It's www.thebarw.com.
Okay, thebarw.com. And then your Facebook page is the Bar W Guest Ranch?
Correct.
Okay. And if you guys are like I am, I like to be liked on Facebook. So go visit their page and like them over there, and plan your next experience of a lifetime. And I expect for many people that is exactly what that is, an experience of a lifetime.
Correct.
And thank you very much for having us.
Well, you guys have been great, and what a great team that you are. And, you know, one of the joys that we have in doing this program is we get to meet, through the program, so many cool people, so many nice folks. And you can't do what you do unless you really enjoy folks and enjoy the lifestyle that you're living out there. So we appreciate you guys very, very much for taking the time to be with us. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, a fun show talking with Bob and with Dave and Kate. And we were talking about that Cowgirls weekend that they do. And we're going to take a quick break and listen to Cowgirls Make the Rules by Terry Brown. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And Tina May and I will be back in just a moment.
Cowgirls like a certain kind of man, a cowboy with rough but gentle hands, and they like it when you're wild as the restless wind that blows. But they love it when you're smart enough to know. Cowgirls make the rules, that's the way always been. They throw their rope around you, lead you home and fence you in. Yeah, cowgirls make the rules, but the reason that they make them is to see if you're cowboy enough to break them. Now, cowboy, like a soft and tender touch from a cowgirl, he can never love too much. When the time comes to saddle up and hit the trail, they'll let you know. And you'll come back because they let you go. Yeah, cowgirls make the rules, and that's the way it's always been. They throw their rope around you, lead you home and fence you in. Cowgirls make the rules, but the reason that they make them is to see if you're cowboy enough to break them.
Terry Brown and Cowgirls Make the Rules, and that is so true. Well, we have had a fun time talking with Bob Bishop. What an inspiration he is, and a joy to talk with at 82, still out on the trails and enjoying life, and that's something that we all should do. And then also talking with Bob and Kate at the Bar W Guest Ranch, and be sure and visit them at the Bar W thebarw.com, their website, and also their Facebook page is the Bar W Guest Ranch, and like their page over there as well. Neat, neat people and a beautiful part of the country. We want to remind our listeners again that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. And you can learn more today at trailguard.org. And we've had a lot of folks on Facebook that have been responding to some posts that we did about Trail Guard and talking about they have a Trail Guard policy. And happy mm-hmm. they are with that. So visit them and get involved. And we remind you, if you're a Legacy Club member, you'll receive a discount when you use your Legacy Club member's code to enroll in Trail Guard. And also by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. They offer you the best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear, and you can shop with them right online at trailheadsupply.com. And I posted on Facebook the first episode of Dead End Express, starring our mm-hmm. own friend Andy Breland. And Andy is the owner of Trailhead Supply, so we appreciate their sponsorship. And visit our Facebook
page.
And
I recommend people to go on that National Geographic site and watch that, or go to our Facebook page, and you've got the first episode right there. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they can't watch it on their website, but they can watch it from our Facebook page. So good opportunity to catch that first episode, and we'll post the second one before long. So anyway, Andy did a great job and getting back and showing really what outfitters do. So, gosh, kind of a superstar. And you know, so that's at least two I know, Andy Breland and Tina Mae Weber. So I'm kind of...
Now you are stretching it.
gosh. Well, we have a lot
still
of...
still riding with them.
Yeah, you're going to be out there riding a little bit later this year with both Andy yeah. and Robert Eversole. And
Robert.
So we can look forward to some pictures and some stories from that trip that you take later on. And we do want to remind folks again about Equestrian Legacy Radio's trail ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. That takes place next week. And so beginning on Thursday, running through Sunday, that's the 4th through the 7th, we're going to have Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship that's taking place. They have set a record number of entries. They have designed one of the fastest courses and most exciting courses ever. And so that will be going on for 2 days. We have 120 miles of beautiful trails to ride on. We have great vendors for people to come out and shop with. And if you're not able to be part of our ride itself, you can come out and watch the Extreme Cowboy Competition and do some shopping with our vendors at no cost. So we'd encourage you to do that. Then on Thursday night, we have the Cowboy Up Ball. We're going to crown the king and the queen of the cowboys. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. The Kenny Berry Band will be performing for that. Thursday night, we have great concerts. And the Friday night and Saturday night, those concerts are open to the public. We'll have Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers on Friday night. And then Michael Martin Murphy and the Rio Grande Band on Saturday night. Then we'll have Cowboy Church on Sunday morning with Wayne Holt and Mike and Doris Merritt. And so we're going to have a great time throughout the entire weekend. I get to meet Tina Mae Weber for the first time in person. I get to meet Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horseman. He and his wife Cindy are going to be there. So many of our friends that we've talked with are coming in. We've got vendors from across the country as well as competitors and trail riders. So check all of that information out on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we remind you that everything that is raised, all the money that's raised, goes to help children with brittle bone disease. So that's what this is all about. So, Tina Mae, that's a mouthful. But
yes, it was. It was a good mouthful.
It was a good mouthful. And, you know, there's still plenty of camping sites and stalls available at the beautiful Circle E Guest Ranch. They've discounted all of their rates, and you can come and enjoy all of the activities, the concerts, the cowboy up ball, all of those things for a $50 donation. And children 12 and under for our campers are free. And again, you can buy tickets for the general public for Friday and Saturday night online at our website as well. So going to be just a lot of fun. And again, it's just about a week away. So we look forward to that.
And trail riding. And lots of trail riding. I can't wait to get on those trails.
Yeah, true. And you know, one of the neat things is all of our artists, all of our entertainers are going to be there for the whole event. And so you have an opportunity to get out and ride the trails with Michael Martin Murphy and Templeton Thompson and Mike and Doris Merritt. And I'm sure Stephanie Lane, who loves to ride, will be out on the trail some. We'll have artists at our booth. So they'll be signing autographs and probably do a little jamming as well, even before the concert. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, that's coming up and beginning next Thursday at the Circle E Guest Ranch. So don't put it off. And we've got some rain right now, but it's going to be over with by the time we get started. So we'll have some beautiful weather in Tennessee. Tina Mae, we've got great guests that are lined up all through the rest of the month, which is almost over with. But this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we have Bryn Hill, who will be joining us, and will be premiering on our show his great new CD, Spirit Rider. And then we'll be visiting with Susan Ingram of Taproot Farms in Tennessee, and we'll be visiting with her. Then on Sunday morning, this is just stinking special, I'm telling you.
Stinking special.
It is special. Last Sunday, we were so thrilled to have Rusty Richards join us. And such a great, great guy. He's been a stuntman. He's been a rodeo cowboy. He's been a rancher. For 20 years, he performed with the Sons of the Pioneers. And has written a great book about the rodeo legend Casey Tibbs. And so we visited with Rusty last week, and he will be back for part two this coming Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And it's a show that you really don't want to miss. If you missed the first one, go back and listen to our archive podcast of that. But it was just a great show with Rusty. Such a neat guy, and it will be great music and great stories that he'll be sharing. And, you know, he's a piece of American history. They've actually recognized the Sons of the Pioneers during his period of time as a national treasure with the Smithsonian Institute. And to listen to him talk about his time visiting with Roy and Dale and Bob Nolan and Pat Brady and other folks that we've enjoyed and loved watching growing up as kids, it's going to be a real treasure. And and then who do we have on Saddle Up America?
Next week on Saddle Up America, we'll have Backcountry Horsemen of America. And then we travel to Belvedere, Tennessee, and talk with Christine Mortensen at the Circle E Guest Ranch, the very place we're having the Fiona Rose charity ride.
All right. So it's going to be a great week of programming. Be sure and catch our shows. If you don't catch them live, you can always go back and listen to our archive podcast at equestrianlegacy.net. Any final thoughts, young lady? We're about to run out of time today.
You know, just never take for granted the simple things in life. They can become great memories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing you back here next Thursday at noon. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And talking about Rusty Richards, we're going to close the show out today with his great song, The Last Cowboy. We remind you, as always, that we are so thankful for you, our audience. Be sure and invite friends to join in and listen to our show as well. And we just thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thank you.
There's an old man who lives all alone on the plains, and he speaks to his horse with a touch of the reins. He's bringing him in, the day's finally done, riding towards home with their backs to the sun. They stop for a while to watch the moon rise, and he hums with the crickets the night's lullaby. Spellbound they stand as the stars come in view. They see it each night, but each night it seems new. And it blows him along. Moment by moment, he loves and lives on. Don't close your eyes, for soon he'll be gone. And with him, the cowboy's song. Song of the cowboy is nearing the end. It came with a breeze riding out on the wind. Men who were free with a song in their hearts, a friend of the moon and a child of the stars. Beds down his horse, then he lights up the fire. He'll fix himself supper, and soon he'll retire. He's sipping his coffee, his last cup today. Tomorrow he'll wake up and just ride away. And it blows him along. Moment by moment, he loves and lives on. Don't close your eyes, for soon you'll be gone. And with him, the cowboy